I have never written a report like this before. I don't know if you will believe me or not, but what happened to us was very real. My wife and I are from Indiana, and we decided to take a trip to Alaska last summer for our 25th wedding anniversary. We both love the outdoors and thought it would be a great experience. The first week, we stayed at Denali National Park and took several guided hikes into the wilderness areas near Mount McKinley. One morning, we went on an early hike with about 10 other people, including two guides who were armed, they said because of bear encounters. We walked for about 2 hours until we came upon an area where there were large rocks surrounding some thick brush. The group stopped for a break while one of the guides made coffee over an open fire in front of the rocks. About that time, my wife told me she had seen something moving behind the brush that seemed out of place with its surroundings. I looked closely in that direction when suddenly, something emerged from behind those bushes. It was standing upright on two legs. The guide also saw it at that point and yelled for everyone to move back slowly. My wife grabbed onto my arm as this thing stepped forward towards us. It must have been around 7 feet tall. This creature was covered in brown hair all over its body, except for his face, which had grayish skin coloration. We all stood frozen as this monster walked towards us, making loud grunting noises along with snorting sounds from his nose area. He did not appear aggressive, but he kept walking closer to where we were huddled together. Suddenly, another Sasquatch appeared from behind him. It looked exactly like him, but was smaller, maybe half his size, and also walking upright, using his arms more than necessary. He actually reminded me of pictures I've seen of Bigfoot. They both continued their slow approach, when suddenly they stopped only a few feet away. The larger Sasquatch then raised his right arm and pointed at the guide, who had been making coffee. He then started waving both arms around while grunting loudly. At that point, I thought he was going to attack us. The other Bigfoot stood there with his mouth open, as if in shock. Then something very strange happened. A female Sasquatch came out from behind the bushes carrying a small child. I would say it looked about 2 years old. She approached the two males, who immediately calmed down when they saw her. She made some noises that we obviously could not understand. It sounded like a series of loud growls and moans. The male squatches then backed up into the brush with her and disappeared. The guides told everyone to stay put for a while, until they were sure they had left the area. We stayed there for another hour before heading back towards camp. This incident has haunted me since that day. My wife is convinced we saw Bigfoot, but I'm still skeptical about what actually occurred. I did speak to one of our guides later on when we returned from our hike, asking him why no one else knew about these creatures, living so close to Denali National Park. He just smiled and said, "We know they are here." He went on to tell me that sightings have been reported over many years by hikers and park personnel, but nothing has ever been done officially or publicly announced. As far as my experience goes, it will be hard enough trying to convince family members that this really happened without contacting anyone else. Reflecting on the incident, I distinctly recall the creature's peculiar interest in the guide's coffee. I was busy being scared out of my wits, but looking back, its focused attention on the coffee did not resemble naive animal curiosity. My wife noticed it too, and we pondered this strange behavior, wondering if these creatures had previous encounters with humans or their objects. My subsequent research on Sasquatch sightings revealed similar behaviors of fascination with human campsites and items. This insight perplexes me, suggesting that these beings may possess a level of intelligence or awareness we have not acknowledged. The thought is both mystifying and haunting, raising new questions about our understanding of these elusive creatures. Anyway, I just wanted to share this all with you to get as much real information out there as possible. Thank you for your website, where people can share their stories and not feel like they're crazy. It's helped me and my wife quite a bit in our process to understand. I've read a few stories about encounters with the skunk ape and wanted to share my experience. This happened in July 2012, while I was on vacation in Florida. My husband and I were driving around late at night, looking for something fun to do when we stumbled upon an alligator farm. We decided to go inside because it seemed interesting. We were walking through the exhibits when we came across a huge open area that had large cages where they kept different types of monkeys. It was pretty dark outside, but there were lights aimed at each cage so you could see them well enough. I walked up close to one of the monkey cages and noticed that it was acting strange. It appeared nervous or frightened. Right away, I felt bad that we had gone inside this farm because it seemed that the animals might be unhappy and scared. As I looked closer, something else caught my eye just behind some bushes directly behind the cage. There stood what appeared to be a tall, ape-like creature swaying back and forth, as if agitated by something. The light made its outline very visible. The creature had reddish-brown hair, or maybe fur, which appeared long, unkempt and dirty. The head resembled an orangutan's butt with less hair on top, with kind of a flat-shaped head. The arms hung down below its knees with really long fingers and hands, like the knuckles would touch ground standing straight up. Very muscular arms, shoulders and chest, almost like a bodybuilder. The lower part of its body resembled that of Bigfoot. Short legs, big feet covered in fur. It did have somewhat of an odor, like skunk smell, which lingered near us for several minutes, even after it disappeared into the darkness. When this thing realized we saw him or her, it let out this loud growl yell noise, followed by deep grunting noises, while beating his chest using both hands vigorously. At first glance from afar, we thought maybe someone dressed up trying to scare people, like a joke they played on visitors. But then this thing then started moving towards us, but staying hidden mostly behind trees and bushes. It was walking in a way that reminded me of a gorilla, with its arms swaying side to side as it moved. We were completely freaked out by this point and started heading towards the main building to find someone who worked there. We eventually found an employee, but when we told him what happened, he seemed uninterested and brushed us off saying, "Oh yeah, that's just our resident skunk ape." We went back outside with the guy to see if it would show itself again, but no luck. The guy did tell us that sometimes visitors report seeing something strange near the monkey cages at night. He also said they've heard stories about people having encounters with a Bigfoot-like creature around those parts, but nobody has ever been able to prove anything. I'm not sure what we saw that night or if it was actually a skunk ape or Bigfoot or monkey man, whatever you want to call it. All I know is that this thing gave off some bad vibes. I felt like my life was in danger and needed to get away from there as soon as possible. Maybe this thing was nothing to worry about and was perfectly natural, but I'm not 100% convinced of that. My husband still makes fun of me for being scared of monkeys, while his theory is more along the lines of thinking the farm just has an unusual animal that they let surprise people. Nevertheless, after reading similar reports online about skunk apes and Bigfoots in Florida, and getting an email from someone else I met with a similar experience, I'm convinced that's what we encountered. That person emailed me something that really sent chills down my spine. According to them, about a decade ago, there was a rumor that the farm was not just an attraction for tourists, but also served as a covert research facility. They were supposedly studying animal behavior in extreme conditions, which included experimenting with crossbreeding and genetic modifications. This person claimed that people back then were saying that one of their experiments went horribly wrong, leading to the creation of something unnatural, something that couldn't be controlled. They suggested that what my husband and I encountered that night might have been a result of those abandoned experiments. Hearing this, everything started to make a bit more sense, and the terror of that night felt even more freaky, and I'm just glad it's over with. I thought you might like to hear this story. Thank you for your time, Lori. I'm just your regular guy, which I think is important to this story, because this could happen to anyone. My name's Alex, and I grew up in a small town in Ontario, not too far from the huge expanse of the Canadian wilderness. My childhood was pretty normal. Nothing too crazy happened. I guess the most notable thing was my love for the outdoors. From a young age, I'd be the kid who'd rather be out climbing trees than sitting inside playing video games. My dad was a big influence on that part. He was an outdoorsman through and through, loved fishing, camping, hiking, you name it. Some of my best memories are of him taking me out into the woods, teaching me how to set up a tent, start a fire without matches, and track animals. He always used to say, "Nature's the best teacher you'll ever have, Alex." And I believed him. School was okay, I guess. I wasn't much into academics. I mean, I did all right, but my heart was always elsewhere. Most of my report cards had the same old comments. Alex is smart but needs to focus more in class. I had a few good friends, and we'd often go on mini adventures in the woods near our neighborhood. After high school, I didn't go the college route. Didn't see the point, really. Instead, I worked a few odd jobs. Construction, landscaping, a bit of bartending. The money was decent, and it gave me the freedom to do what I love most, exploring the outdoors. I'd save up, then take off for a few weeks or a month, backpacking through different parts of Canada. I had a couple of close calls during those trips, got lost once for a couple of days, another time I nearly fell off a cliff. But those experiences, they only made me feel more alive, and they also taught me respect for nature's power and beauty. Now, about that incident I want to share with you. It was supposed to be just another adventure. At least that's what I thought it would be. Me and a couple of buddies, Mike and Dan, decided to explore some of the more remote lakes in Canada. We were all experienced campers and had done stuff like this before. The plan was simple: canoe during the day, camp at night, and just enjoy being away from the chaos of the world. That evening, when we set up camp near the waterfall, it felt just like any other night in the wilderness. But there was something off, something in the air that made me uneasy. I've always trusted my instincts. They've gotten me out of more than a few scrapes in the past. When I saw those figures, my first thought was, maybe they're just curious animals. But the way they moved, the way they were watching us, it didn't sit right with me. It felt more ominous. These creatures, I'd never seen anything like them. They were tall, probably over 7 feet, and their skin was this pale, almost translucent color, like you could see the blue of their veins underneath. Their bodies were emaciated, like those pictures you see of animals during a drought, all ribs and angles. Their faces, that's what got me the most. They had these large black eyes, no whites at all, just these deep, dark pools that seemed to swallow up the light. And their mouths, they were wide, too wide, with thin, almost non-existent lips and teeth that were small, but looked sharp, like needles. Their arms and legs were disproportionately long, and their fingers and toes were elongated, ending in these claw-like nails. They moved in this jerky, unnatural way, as if their limbs were too long for their bodies. When they ran, it was with an almost spider-like gait that covered ground alarmingly fast. The way they communicated was eerie. It was this clicking noise, like someone tapping their nails rapidly on a hard surface, mixed with these guttural growls that seemed to resonate in the air. There was a bit of a standoff between us and them for the better part of an hour, all just watching each other until finally something kicked in on their end, and they started coming at us, hard. When they charged at us, their movements were frantic, almost desperate. They swung their long arms wildly, clawing at the trees, the ground, the air. It was like they were driven by some frenzied hunger or rage. But what was weirdest was how they seemed to be fighting each other as much as they were trying to get to us. They'd swipe at each other, leaving these long, shallow cuts on their pale skin, which seemed to heal almost as quickly as they were made. As they got closer, the air around us seemed to get colder, and there was this smell, a mix of wet earth and something metallic, like blood. I remember thinking that we weren't just dealing with animals. These things were something else, something ancient, and not entirely of this world. The whole encounter lasted maybe 10 minutes, but it felt like it would never end. When they finally retreated, disappearing into the darkness of the forest as suddenly as they had appeared, we were left in this stunned silence, trying to process what had just happened. Like, were they really charging at us? Or was something else going on when they ran in our direction? It's totally confusing, and we still have no idea. So, that's all that really happened, and there's no really big ending to share. It just sort of happened, and then it was over. But to this day, I still think about those creatures, wondering what they were, where they came from, what they were doing. Part of me wants to go back to find out more, but another part, a bigger part, is just willing to let the mystery remain unsolved back by the waterfall. My husband and I had a completely unexplainable experience in the Allegheny National Forest about 15 years ago. We have never told anyone because we knew no one would believe us. When I read your post about these sightings, I was very interested in your honesty. I want to tell you that what happened to us is absolutely true. My husband is a well-respected man who does not drink or do drugs, and he also has good common sense. We were on vacation at the time of this sighting. It was late August, and we were camping along the Allegheny River near Warren, Pennsylvania. The night before our encounter, we heard something walking around our tent during the early morning hours. It sounded like it was large with heavy footsteps, but my husband thought it may have been a deer or bear sniffing around for food scraps. About 7 p.m. that evening, my husband suggested that we drive over to Kinzua Dam and look out over the reservoir before sunset. He thought it would be a great photo opportunity since there wasn't any wind. It took us less than 20 minutes to get there from the campground. As soon as we arrived at Kinzua Dam, Allegheny Reservoir, my husband pulled his camera gear out of the trunk of our car and started taking pictures while standing on top of some large rocks, facing east toward Jake's Rocks Overlook. My job was holding onto his backpack full of equipment when suddenly he turned towards me, quickly pointing behind him and yelling, "Look!" When I turned around towards where he was pointing, all I could see were two huge legs covered with long black hair, standing above these rocks about 40 feet away. Then, whatever this thing was, jumped off into some thick bushes, making quite a bit of noise. After several seconds went by, my husband said, "I still see something big moving in those trees." So then he started walking towards them, despite me begging him not to. I stayed back by the car. Once he reached the area where this thing had gone, he said he noticed a large circular impression in the ground. He said it looked like it was about 2 feet across. My husband put his foot into it and said to himself, "I think this is a footprint." I'd also seen another one about 20 feet away with smaller impressions on each side of them, as if more were standing there watching us from behind some trees. My husband was very excited when he got back to the car, and we both walked around looking for more evidence, but didn't see or hear anything else until later. He then suggested that we get out of there and drive back over to the campground so he could show the people camping next to us what we found. When we arrived at our campsite, no one was there because they were out fishing somewhere down the river and hadn't returned yet. I then asked my husband if he thought those tracks belonged to Bigfoot. He said, "Yes, and I also believe that's what walked around our tent last night. Now we know." Later on during the evening hours, while sitting by the fire roasting marshmallows, my husband mentioned that when he went walking through those bushes near Kinzua Dam after finding those tracks earlier, he thinks something started following him all the way back, almost to where I was waiting and looking around, which was closer to the car. He described hearing footsteps coming towards him, and then stopping whenever he stopped moving too. The sound seemed heavy, like whatever it was weighed a lot, and had difficulty moving through all of those fallen branches. I asked him why in the world he hadn't told me, and he said he wanted us to get back first, and not scare me. We didn't talk about it much after that night, and never did tell the couple camping next to us, because they got back pretty late. It was like if we spoke about it, it'd make it all too real, and I wasn't sure I was ready for that. He wasn't either. It's one thing to hear about Bigfoot in stories, you know, and another to maybe have one stalking you in the dead of night. So, life went on. We packed up our gear at the end of our vacation and went back to our routine. My husband still took his camera out on trips, but those photos from Kinzua Dam stayed hidden at the bottom of a drawer. I think he was scared, in a way, to admit what he thought they might show. But it's not like we forgot either. Sometimes I'd catch him staring into the woods behind our house, like he was half expecting to see those huge legs walking by. And me? I started researching quietly. I'd look up stories from around the Allegheny National Forest, trying to see if anyone else had seen what we saw. Turns out, we weren't alone. There were a handful of reports, some old, some recent, of strange sights and sounds, of feeling watched in the woods, of huge, unexplainable footprints. None as close as ours, maybe, but close enough. We did eventually talk about it, years later. It was a quiet evening, just the two of us on the porch. "Do you ever think about that day at Kinzua Dam?" he asked, out of nowhere. And I admitted that I did. We shared what we'd kept to ourselves, his fear, my research, and it felt like a weight had lifted. We didn't have to believe in Bigfoot to know that something had happened to us, something unexplained, and acknowledging that was enough in a way. It became our story, a private piece of the unknown that we'd encountered together. I was a park ranger in the Smoky Mountains for several years. The park is huge, covering over 522,000 acres, divided almost exactly half and half in North Carolina and Tennessee. There are many visitors to the park, and plenty of strange happenings that go on there. One evening, I received a call from one of our maintenance personnel, who reported seeing an odd creature near one of the parking lots at Klingman's Dome, which is the highest point in the park. He said he wanted someone else to see what he did, and so we drove up to investigate. It was dark when we arrived, and there were no other people around. The witness told me that he saw something running through some bushes about 50 yards away from him. He said it had long hair all over its body and looked like a monkey or gorilla. He had gotten out his flashlight to get a better look at it, but couldn't see anything due to all the underbrush between him and whatever it was. As he continued watching, he could hear twigs snapping, as if something big was moving toward him very quickly. When he finally did see it, whatever this thing was stood up on two legs and took off into another area full of brush. We both headed back up into the woods where this happened. We began walking around, looking for any signs of movement, in case this thing hadn't left yet. About 15 minutes later, we heard what sounded like footsteps coming towards us, so we stopped dead, still trying not to make any noise and just listen. This time, however, instead of just hearing footsteps, he said they seemed much louder than before. They were heavy-sounding thuds, almost as if someone or something much larger than either him or me was walking towards us. At first, neither one of us moved until suddenly, whatever this thing might be, started charging right at us. I immediately raised my light beam while aiming directly ahead, trying to blind the creature and knock it off course. In less than a minute, though, we both heard the thing stop. Then there was nothing but silence. We waited for a few minutes to see if it would start moving again, but all we could hear were our own heartbeats pounding away. Eventually, I took my flashlight and scanned it around in the direction of where this thing had stopped running towards us. There, about 20 yards away from us, was a large black creature that stood at least 7 feet tall. It had long arms, very long fingers, and huge hands. Its legs were muscular and bent backwards like a dog or bear. Its head was pointed on top, with no visible neck area. In its mouth, though, you could clearly see what looked like canine teeth, which stuck out quite far beyond its lips. At first, we just stared at each other until, suddenly, without warning, this creature let out an extremely loud growl, and then charged right at us. The witness lost it and immediately turned around and ran back down the trail while I stayed put, holding my ground. The next moment, this beast slammed into me, knocking me off balance. I fell onto my side as it grabbed hold of one leg, trying to drag me further into the woods. I began writhing wildly and kicking into whatever part of this monster I thought might be vulnerable. All the while, though, I kept screaming for help. After several minutes, though, this creature released its grip, giving me enough time to get up and run. When I finally reached the vehicle, he was already in the driver's seat, and we drove straight down to headquarters, where we reported everything that happened. That night, several rangers went back up there looking for any signs of blood or tracks made by either myself or whatever attacked us. And you'll never believe what happened. When the other rangers got up there, they found nothing, not a single track. It was like the earth had swallowed whatever it was. But the strangest thing, nothing at all was disturbed, to the point where I thought I had brought them to the wrong location. But the next day, we went back up there again, during daylight this time. We had to see it clearly for ourselves. We half expected the creature to jump out at us at any moment, but the area was just silent, the normal kind of silent you expect in the woods. It felt weird though, like something was watching us. We did eventually find some broken branches and disturbed underbrush now that we could see better, but that could have been from anything really. We kept a close eye on the area for weeks after that, sometimes even using thermal cameras, but nothing showed up. Life in the park went back to normal, but that feeling never really left me. Every time I went on patrol, I had this sense of something being out of place. It wasn't fear exactly, more like being on high alert all the time. Months passed without incident. Then one day, out of nowhere, a hiker reported seeing a figure in the distance, near the same area. She described it the same way as the maintenance guy did, but we still found nothing. I started to read up on local legends and stories from the Cherokee tribes that lived in the area. Turns out, they have stories about creatures like this, and sightings that go back centuries. I eventually left the ranger service, moved on to different things, but every now and then, I meet up with some of my old colleagues, and inevitably, the conversation turns to that night. We speculate, of course. Some think it was a bear with mange, others believe it was something else. All I know is what I saw and what I felt, and it's something I'll never quite shake. I can still feel those long fingers clamping around my ankle, and the growl. It was like it came from the very earth itself. Whoever heads up to Klingman's Dome, I always tell them to keep their eyes open and watch their back. You never know what's out there, lurking just beyond the beam of your flashlight. I'm writing to you as a police officer and would like to tell you about an experience I had during my time on the force. It was in New Orleans in 2012. I was patrolling around City Park at night with another officer when we received a call from dispatch that there were reports of fighting and commotion in the area. We headed over to investigate. As we got closer, we noticed that all of the streetlights were out for some reason, which made it really hard to see anything. As soon as we pulled up, we saw three people sprinting towards us, who looked completely terrified. They told us they heard what sounded like someone screaming right before hearing multiple loud bangs. We decided it'd be best if they waited inside our cruiser while we went ahead and investigated this situation. My partner stayed behind with them while I started searching around to see where the noise came from. The only thing I could hear besides crickets chirping was faint rustling noises coming from nearby bushes. The park itself is massive, approximately 1,300 acres, so trying to find whoever did this wouldn't be easy without backup. But since there were no other units available at the time, it meant me and my partner would have to handle things ourselves. While walking through tall grasses towards one of the picnic areas nearby, which overlooks Lake Pontchartrain, I began noticing strange footprints imprinted into the muddy ground surrounding certain trees, as well as occasional drag marks leading away from said trees, as if something heavy had been dragged across the grass. There are many swamps and bayous within City Park's vicinity, due eastward beyond forested sections, also leading northwards adjacent across Marconi Drive, into a densely wooded thicket, which ultimately connects along Wiesner Boulevard going southwards toward Audubon Park, a very large and complex system of waterways within NOLA proper. Following the path that led further eastward, it wasn't long before I discovered a mutilated animal lying on the ground near a clearing. It was in horrible condition, torn to shreds in a way that was not natural at all. No natural predator would have done this. There were also strange symbols drawn into the mud nearby, which appeared to be some sort of occult marking or something similar. And next to these drawings lay various items such as candles, feathers, and animal bones. I immediately called for backup upon finding the situation and tried to secure the area as best I could until help arrived. While waiting by myself, though, I couldn't shake the feeling that someone or something was watching me from a distance. The air felt heavy and thick with tension, almost suffocating, making it difficult to breathe properly. Moreover, shadows cast under moonlight seemed unusually elongated somehow, compared to usual night shifts within park grounds. As minutes passed slowly but surely, uneasiness began growing stronger within me. Instincts told me to stay alert since some sort of danger seemed to be lurking nearby. Eventually, backup showed up about an hour later, and a few of them started combing through the woods surrounding the lakefront area, looking for any other potential evidence as to what happened. Surprisingly, they brought dogs with them too. I guess they already had them from a previous stop, and so that was a bonus. They were hoping the dogs could sniff out anything unusual hidden among the dense foliage. Unfortunately, despite the thorough investigation conducted afterwards, nothing else turned up except dead ends everywhere we looked. No further clues leading us closer to capturing whoever or whatever did this. 2 days later, I was back in City Park, unable to shake the feeling that we had missed something crucial in our initial search. I decided to take another sweep of the area where we found the occult symbols and mutilated animal. It was mid-afternoon, and the park had its usual runners and families around, which made me feel a bit more at ease than that previous night. As I made my way to the previously investigated spot, a distorted howl in the distance stopped me dead in my tracks. I called it in, and my partner joined me with a couple of other officers. We approached the area with caution. The howl had a strange pitch to it, almost mechanical, like it was being played on a low-quality speaker. But when we found the source, it wasn't a speaker at all. Hidden in a thicket, we uncovered a peculiar den, crafted not by human hands, but something else. Something deliberate in its design, yet not quite natural. Inside the den, we found an array of large, clawed footprints, distinctly non-human, leading in and out of the den in all directions. The ground was littered with tufts of coarse, dark hair, and the air carried a wild musk that made the officers grimace. We collected samples carefully, unsure of what creature could have left them. There were also deep scratches on the nearby trees, too high and too deliberate to be from any known animal in these parts. The most unsettling discovery was a series of large, oddly shaped bones scattered around the perimeter of the den. They were heavy, picked clean, and gnawed at the ends. It wasn't just the state of the bones that was unnerving, but the realization that some were unmistakably from deer, while others were from animals we couldn't even identify. We logged the evidence, photographing everything meticulously, knowing that this was something beyond our usual scope of wildlife incidents. We cordoned off the area and called in a specialist from the nearby university, someone with more experience in unknown animal behavior. As we waited, the sun began to dip below the tree line, casting long shadows across the park. There was no sign of the creature, but the sense of being watched lingered. We left the park as night fell, leaving cameras and traps in place. Whatever was out there, something that understand, or some yet-to-be-discovered species, it was clear we were dealing with something far more complex than we had ever anticipated. But for now, all we could do was wait and watch, hoping the night would remain as calm as it seemed. I was just listening to old stories on your channel and saw a post about something similar to what I encountered about 10 years ago. The incident happened in September of 2014 while I was working the night shift at the Eugene Police Department in Oregon. I was on patrol alone that night as usual, and it had been quiet until around 2:30 a.m. when I received a call from dispatch asking me to respond to an alarm activation at one of our local elementary schools. The school is located on a rural road outside city limits, so my response time would be longer than normal. It took about 10 minutes for me to reach the area, but once there, everything appeared secure. As soon as I cleared the scene and started driving back toward town, my police radio began emitting static. Then suddenly, it stopped completely. After about 2 minutes, I heard a loud buzzing sound coming from somewhere behind my vehicle. At first, I thought it may have been an electrical transformer or something else nearby. Shortly after hearing this noise, another officer came over his radio with traffic, stating he was being followed by a UFO. He sounded frantic and requested assistance. I immediately turned around with emergency lights activated, because no matter what was really going on, this other officer needed help right away. As soon as I arrived at his location, which was north of Eugene, near farm fields along Highway 99, all of my car's electronics failed. I was parked right next to him when the lights went out and the engine died. My portable police radio also stopped functioning. At that point, I got out of my car and went over to his. We both noticed that three bright red-orange orbs were hovering above us, approximately 50 feet up. These orbs made no sound whatsoever, but moved independently before disappearing into thin air within seconds. A few moments later, we both heard someone talking over our radios again, but it wasn't clear due to interference. It turned out that additional backup units arrived shortly thereafter due to a mix-up on communication. They checked their mobile radios and said they couldn't hear anything intelligible except static. All four vehicles then proceeded northbound towards Junction City, where they reported that things returned to normal. We contacted dispatch using our cell phones and were told that the other officers on duty also experienced the same interference and loss of radio communications at different times throughout the county, including one officer who was dispatched to another alarm activation. So there I was, the static from the radio filling the silence of my patrol car. The night was dark, a kind of dark that felt thick somehow. The orbs had just vanished, and Officer Matthews and I were trying to make sense of what we'd seen. We were standing outside our cars, looking up at the empty space where the lights had been. The night was still again. The buzzing that had filled the air just moments before was gone. It was surreal, like the pause button had been hit on the world. "Did you see that?" Matthews asked, his voice a mix of awe and fear. I just nodded, not really trusting my voice at that moment. We were cops. We were trained to deal with reality, the tangible, the explainable. But this was none of those things. Then we looked down the road only to see even more backup units arriving, their headlights cutting through the darkness. I remember thinking how normal and comforting the sight of those approaching cars was, even though there was obviously still a communication mix-up if they were now arriving too. They stopped, got out, and joined us, looking around with a mix of confusion and concern. "What's going on?" one of the backup officers, Jenkins, asked. "Dispatch said you guys lost comms?" Before we could answer, the static on our radios died down, and a voice cut through, clear as day. It wasn't dispatch. It wasn't anyone I recognized. It was calm, too calm for someone who hadn't just been staring at a trio of UFOs. "Officers, remain calm. You are safe. Do not fear." The voice was almost robotic, devoid of any inflection or accent. Needless to say, it sent a shiver down my spine. I looked at Matthews, and he was staring at his radio, his face pale in the moonlight. "Who is this? Identify yourself," Jenkins demanded into his radio, but there was no response. Just the return of the static, like whatever had decided to communicate was now done with us. We stood there, in the middle of the rural road, looking at each other. The night had gone quiet again, the kind of quiet that happens after a snowfall, where the world seems muffled. "We need to document this," I said finally, my voice sounding strange to my own ears. "Everything we saw, everything we heard. They'll think we're crazy, but we have to report it." Matthews nodded, and we got to work, our pens and notepads out, scribbling down everything while it was still fresh. The other officers did the same, their faces serious and focused. It was clear we all understood the gravity of what had just happened. As we worked, I couldn't shake the feeling of being watched. I kept glancing up at the sky, half expecting to see those orbs again, or something even more unexplainable. But there was nothing, just the stars and the vast, endless dark. After we'd written down everything we could remember, we decided to head back to the station. The cars started without issue this time, and the radios were back to normal, chirping with the usual late-night traffic. The drive back was silent, each of us lost in our own thoughts. What did it mean? Why us? Would anyone even believe us? I had no answers, just a deep sense of unease that settled in the pit of my stomach. Back at the station, we filed our reports, our hands steady, but our voices shaking just slightly as we recounted the events. Dispatch took our statements their faces a mix of skepticism and concern. They promised to pass it up the chain to see if anyone else had reported anything similar. But deep down, I think we all knew it wouldn't matter. Things like this, they don't just get explained away. They become stories, legends, the kind of thing you tell as a warning or a lesson. I never found out what those orbs were. No one did. There was talk, of course, whispers of government tests, of drones, of a thousand other rational explanations. But none of them fit what we'd seen, what we'd felt. I continued to work the night shift, continued to patrol the same roads. But every time I passed by that stretch of Highway 99, my gaze would drift upwards, searching for something I couldn't explain, something that had shaken me to my core. That night stayed with me, a constant reminder of the unknown. I'd been a cop for years, seen things I thought were the worst humanity had to offer. But that was different. That was a mystery wrapped in the night sky, a question without an answer. I left the force a few years later, but the story of that night never left me. It became a part of who I was, a tale to tell in hushed tones, a memory to think about during quiet moments. And every September, when the air starts to turn cool and the leaves begin to change, I think back to that night and I remember every last detail. My husband and I took a trip to Montana for a getaway. We literally started driving on a random adventure before finally stopping at a small town in the middle of nowhere. Picture this, a population of maybe 1,000 souls, tops. There were a couple of stores, one hotel, and the rest were either houses or old shops, some of which looked like no one had set foot in them for decades. We got to the hotel, which was this three-story deal, and our room was on the second floor. It was surprisingly decent, especially considering the building's age. Everything was clean, no grimy carpets or sketchy bedding. And there was this big window that gave us a view of Main Street. You know how it is when you first check into a hotel room? Well, my husband's got this habit of poking around, opening drawers, checking out every nook and cranny. Meanwhile, I'm at the window, taking in the view. There's this massive tree across the street when something weird catches my eye. Up in the tree, there's this thing perched on a branch, and it's looking right at me. It's got this golem vibe. Think gray skin, veiny, with these huge eyes that just pop. But the more I stare, the less real it seems. It's like a prop or something, especially since the whole place has this vintage, stuck-in-time kind of feel. After a bit, my husband gets tired of his explorations and comes over to see what's got me so fixated. Now, we're not exactly the type to jump to paranormal conclusions. We've never seen anything like that. He looks out, sees a bunch of trees, and that's it. "What's up?" he asks. But by then, whatever it was had ducked behind some leaves. I pointed out, trying to guide his gaze. "Right there, look." But he's just not seeing it. I keep pointing, getting louder each time. But he's clueless, doesn't see a thing. So I'm starting to question my own eyes, thinking maybe I'm seeing things. That night, we're in bed, watching some TV, when this scraping noise starts up on our window, followed by this tapping sound. I peek outside and see a tree branch against the window, moving back and forth. Then, out of nowhere, a big gust of wind comes, except there's no wind outside. It's dead calm. Now I'm really on edge. After a few minutes, I muster up the courage to draw back the curtains and look, but there's nothing there that explains it. My husband tries to brush it off, saying it's probably just the trees, but he doesn't sound all that sure himself. Then he says something odd. "Don't worry, they'll keep you safe." What? That made zero sense unless, and that's when I got the chills. Maybe there was something strange about this town after all. And why the heck would he say they? The next day, we grab breakfast at the hotel's little diner. It's a decent spread, eggs, bacon, toast, the works. After eating, we decide to explore the town, see which shops are open. We come across this ancient general store a few blocks from the hotel, with these creaky wooden floors and shelves lined with faded goods. My husband's on a snack mission, typical guy stuff, while I wander off down another aisle. And there it is. On the top shelf, there's this stuffed monkey, all brown fur, but with these big red eyes that look way too familiar. It wasn't really creepy or anything, except those eyes. They were just like the ones from last night. Now my mind's racing. Was someone messing with us? Rigging stuff outside our window? Or was it just a weird coincidence? I call my husband over to check out the monkey. He's disinterested, but I push it. Doesn't that remind you of something? No dice. He doesn't see it. I fill him in on the previous night's weirdness, but he's skeptical. Thinks I'm pulling his leg. So he heads out with his snacks, striking up conversations with the locals while I keep poking around the store. Then this old lady comes in, looking for buttons. She and the owner exchange a few words, and then she gives me this look, this knowing, eerie smile. And now I'm thinking, what if there's more to this town? What if these people aren't what they seem? We didn't wander much after that. Instead, we hung out at the hotel until nightfall. Come morning, my husband's up before dawn, telling me he heard scratching at our window all night. It kept waking him up. He's a light sleeper and I was dead tired from being up the night before. He's had it, insists we leave as soon as possible. And now there's this scratching noise coming from multiple windows, even from the bathroom, which, like I said, is weird because we are on the second floor. So I'm starting to feel the same way and want to get the heck out of there. We quickly pack our stuff, eager to get going. As we're checking out, the hotel manager, this older guy with a friendly face, asks us how our stay was. My husband, he's polite, just nods and says it was fine. But I can't help myself. Hey, is there anything odd about this town? I ask him. The manager just chuckles like it's a joke. Oh, you know, small towns. We all have our quirks. But there's this glint in his eye that makes me wonder. We head out, and the drive back is mostly silent. My husband's focused on the road, but I can tell he's thinking about the whole thing. I keep replaying everything in my head, wondering if we overreacted, or if there really was something off about that place. I mean, we literally felt like we were in a movie scene where the weirdest stuff happens that seems totally impossible. A few days after we get back, I'm still uneasy. So I do some digging online, looking up anything I can find about that town. And guess what? There's almost nothing. Like, it's there on the map, but beyond that, it's like the town doesn't want to be known. No tourist info, no history, nothing. Then I find this old forum thread. It's from years ago, some guy asking about the same town. He mentions the hotel and how he felt like he was being watched. The responses are mostly people brushing it off. But one comment stands out. It's vague, just a sentence. Some places are best left alone. That's when it hits me hard that we weren't really being crazy. But sometimes, late at night, I'll still wake up thinking I hear that scraping noise on the window. And I wonder if we brought something back with us, or if it's just my imagination. But one thing's for sure, our next vacation will be to a big city, with lots of lights and people. No more quaint little towns for us. Not for a long, long time. I've had my fair share of paranormal experiences, and I'd love to share a few with you. Maybe your listeners might have some insights into what they could be. Just to set the scene, I'm an over-the-road truck driver, which means these strange happenings aren't tied down to one place. So, here's the first incident. There I am, cruising down 285 in Georgia, right? It's the middle of the night, like 2:30 a.m. The road is completely empty. Everything's quiet except the steady rumble of the engine and the sound of the tires rolling over the pavement. I've got the window cracked just a bit, letting that cool night breeze slip in. It's got that fresh, earthy smell that just makes you glad to be on the road. I'm feeling good. Settled in for the long haul, and the Atlanta skyline is just a glow on the horizon behind me. But then, man, things start getting wonky. My dash lights go nuts out of the blue, the speedometer is bouncing, the fuel gauge is doing a dance, and all the little warning lights are flickering on and off like it's Christmas or something. I give the dash a smack, you know, the universal fix-it move. But nope, they keep flashing like they're partying hard. And just when I'm trying to make sense of this light show, my headlights decide to peace out. Just like that, they're gone. And I'm not gonna lie, my heart skips a beat, because it is pitch black out there. I mean, I can't see a thing. Not even the white lines on the road. But just as quick, the lights flash back on like they're saying, "Just kidding." So I'm sitting there, hands clamped on the wheel, eyes wide open, trying to figure out if I'm about to be in some real trouble here. Everything goes back to normal for a bit, and I'm thinking maybe it was just a fluke, right? But then I hit exit 16. That's near Roswell Road in Atlanta. And my dashboard? It just loses its mind again. I'm talking about all these red warning lights popping up like I just started the engine. And it's not just for a second, it's like this for a good minute straight. Meanwhile, I've got this weird feeling like someone's watching me. I keep checking my mirrors, looking over my shoulder, but there's nothing, just the road and me. You'd think it's just an electrical issue, right? But here's the kicker, the truck was fine. No issues before, and none after these weird episodes. Not for months. So you tell me, what's up with that? And now here's the second incident. It happened this one night, just around midnight, heading west towards Salt Lake City on I-80. I'm between Cheyenne and Laramie in Wyoming when my CB radio dies. I eventually pull off at an exit, which is in the middle of nowhere. No street lights, pitch black apart from my truck's lights. I'm out there trying to figure out the fuses. They all seem fine, but nothing's working. Meanwhile, another guy pulls up in his rig and stops and says he is also having electrical issues. Then, out of the blue, all the lights start flickering violently. It's just chaos. And then suddenly, silence. That's when we hear a voice through my speaker. "Hey, can you hear me?" But the radios are dead. No one can respond. The other driver and I are just baffled. Silence again. Then the voice, louder. "Hello! Can you hear me?" The other driver asks who it is, but all we get is, "What are you doing out here at this time of night? Where is your dispatcher?" That spooked us both, not gonna lie. I checked all over the place. There was no sign of anyone or anything. Then, everything just powers back up, except my CB radio, which took another 5 minutes. After that, we both just went on our way, and obviously, I never saw him again. And here's the final bit of craziness that happened. The last incident that I can't explain. Picture this. I'm out on the open road, trucking through Montana. You probably know how it is there. Endless highways, big sky country. So, I pull over at this rest area. It's one of those spots that's picture perfect. We're talking one of those days that's all postcard worthy, with the sun hanging high and not a cloud in sight. I'm thinking, let's stretch the legs. Maybe get a bit of that fresh pine air in my lungs. I park the rig, hop out, and there's this little slice of woods right there. Looks inviting enough, so I say to myself, why not take a little detour? I start off into the trees, just enjoying the peace. Now here's where things get weird. I'm minding my own business, just walking, when out of nowhere, it's like I walked face first into a wall. But there's nothing there, right? It's just air, but it doesn't feel like it. This wave of, I don't know, just bad vibes rolls over me. It's like the air gets thick with this nasty energy. You ever get that feeling where you just know something ain't right? That's what hits me. Goosebumps? Check. Hair standing up like I've got a live wire under my hat? Double check. It's like I stumbled into a haunted house, except I'm in the middle of the woods. And then, all hell breaks loose. Birds that were chirping away just a second ago suddenly go berserk. It's a full-on avian explosion, wings and squawks, and they're all shooting out of the trees like they're late for a bird meeting. I'm standing there, trying to figure out if I'm losing my marbles, or if this is actually happening. And then, just as quick as it started, it's over. The evil vibe, the invisible wall, all of it, just gone. Like someone flipped a switch and everything's back to normal. I take a minute, catch my breath, and think about heading back to the truck. But you know what's the craziest part? As I'm turning to leave, there's this feeling in my gut that tells me something was messing with me. Not a person, not an animal, but something. I can't explain it, and maybe I don't want to. I just know that I hightailed it out of there fast, and didn't stop walking till I was back at my truck, with the door safely shut and the engine running. In closing, I know how this all sounds. Like something out of a made-up story, right? But I swear, it's the truth. There have been other incidents, sure, but these were the most intense that I could think of. Hope these all can help someone else who's seen some weird stuff they can't explain. Hey, so I've got this wild story to share. I've been hanging on to every word of the stories on your site for ages. My life's pretty chill. My wife and I run a goat farm in Vermont, and sometimes making soap from goat milk for some extra money on the side. We're new to it all, only been doing it a few years. But man, last night was just wild. So, it was past 9:30 p.m., and my wife and I hear this freaky sound outside. Sounded like one of our goats got out, but the noise wasn't normal. I bolted to the barn, and my wife was right on my heels. The outside light was pretty weak, and I couldn't see much, so I went in. All our goats were huddled up at one end, making a racket, but it was still dark inside the barn. I get my flashlight out, and there, eating hay in the opposite corner, is this animal. It was like some kind of big, black-haired monkey or something. It turns and makes these bizarre noises at us. We're yelling, waving broom handles, but it doesn't even flinch. No way to shoo it off, so we head back to throw on more clothes since it's freezing out there, in just our thin night clothes and jackets. Back inside, another crazy scream and thuds against the barn wall. Dressed properly now, I'm sprinting through the snow, past the chicken coop, back to the barn. I walk through the door, going in slow this time, flashlight at the ready. And there it is, still hunkered down by the hay bales, munching away and looking all nervous, but not looking like it's going to hurt anything. I'm like, let's just back off and let it be. Truthfully, I didn't know what to do, and my wife looks at me like I'm crazy. She wants it out of there now. I've never seen anything like it. Small, black, long limbs, big hands and feet. Its face kind of like a baboon, red eyes glowing in the flashlight. My wife's like, should we call someone? But I'm thinking they'll just brush us off and not show up. So I'm like, let's see if it comes back tomorrow. But right then, the thing jumps up and rushes out of the barn and into the night. At least we didn't have to decide how to deal with it to get it out of there. So, we lock the barn up tight and head to bed. It's all we can do at the moment. Next morning, my wife's up early saying we need to get out there again. I'm talking like 5:30 a.m. kind of early. I'm tired and the barn's all secured, so we wait until it's fully light and head out. Everything looks good, thank goodness. But we decide we're keeping the goats in their stalls during the day, just in case. Then, night comes again, and around 9:30 p.m., we are chilling in the living room, TV on low, and I hear that scream from the barn, followed by thumping on the walls again. I race upstairs, get properly dressed, tell my wife to come along, and we're plowing through the snow to the barn. As I get there, I see a window open, just swinging in the breeze. Gave me the chills thinking about how it got open from the outside. I throw open the barn door, light still dim, but nothing's moving, just the smell of goats in the air. Our flashlights are scanning all over, then boom, there's that creature, perched high up on a hay bale, staring us down with those red eyes. The air was thick with tension, and the goats were making noises I never heard before. It was a standoff, just us staring at this strange creature. We didn't move. It didn't move. My wife whispered, "What does it want?" I had no clue. I figured we had to do something. So I took a step forward, slow-like, not wanting to spook it. I remembered we left some overripe apples in a bin near the door. "Food," I murmured. "Maybe that's all it wants." So I grabbed an apple and lobbed it gently towards the creature. To our shock, it caught the apple mid-air and started eating. Feeling braver, I tossed another apple, and this time, the creature hopped down and came a bit closer. "It's just hungry," my wife said, a mix of relief and wonder in her voice. We kept feeding it apples until it seemed calm. We were just discussing throwing the apples out the window to get it to go out after them, when the creature stopped munching and stared past us, towards the woods. We turned to look, and through the snow and darkness, we could just make out shapes moving. My heart dropped. There were more of them, just outside the barn. We backed away slowly, not wanting to trigger a frenzy. The first creature, the one we'd been feeding, made a series of sounds, and the others retreated into the woods. It looked at us once more before it turned and vanished into the night with the others. We stood there for a long time, not saying a word. Eventually, we secured the barn once more, making sure to check all the windows and trudged back to the house. We didn't talk about what to do next. We just knew that this was something beyond us, something we couldn't explain or control. The next day, we found tracks all around the barn, too many to count, but we just added additional locks and carried on. But we kept a closer watch, especially at night. We never saw the creatures again, but sometimes, when the wind is just right, we hear those strange calls from the woods. We're convinced they're still out there. It's part of our life now, this mystery, this wild turn of events. We respect it, give it space, and that's OutStory. Thanks for listening.